From the lands of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 13th day of November 2018. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. We'll look at the fundamentals of supply and demand for both the corn and the soybeans with Todd Hubbs, agricultural economist from the U of I. And check out the weather forecast, too. Oh, and the agricultural news for the afternoon right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. To look us up and listen to us on demand anytime you'd like, the address there is WILLAG.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You know, the Farm Assets Conference is now just a week away. That's in Normal, Illinois, next Tuesday, the 20th day of November. Boy, do we have a fantastic day planned for you. Come early and come to the Illinois Corn Growers Association's annual meeting. They'll have a free breakfast for you to start at 8 a.m. in Normal at the Marriott Hotel and Conference Center. You can stay for their annual meeting, and then as soon as that's done, you'll just walk out and come right into the Farm Assets Conference. The cost of the tickets there are $40, and we'll open our doors at 9:30. We'll kick off with a great program on the future of agriculture with some really big companies. Anheuser-Busch and McDonald's will be there. We'll talk with Clarkson Grain to put some of this into perspective, and Syngenta as well. After lunch, we'll take a look at what's been happening on South Campus and Research Park with some great companies like Granular and Agrible that have come out of there, but some of the other companies you may not know about, and really what Research Park is all about. And then we'll discuss trade tariffs, grain flow, and the farm economy with Gary Schnicki, Jonathan Kappas, and Bruce Sherrick from the U of I, and wrap things up with a commodity marketing panel that will include Pete Manhart from Bates Commodities, Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing, Merrill Crowley of Midwest Market Solutions, Todd Hubbs from right here on campus at the U of I, and Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Wayne, in fact, is on the line right now to take up the commodity markets. Wayne, I'm really looking forward to having you there next Tuesday.
Yeah, but I'm more excited about hearing the rest of the people talk. So I think we're going to have a really, really exciting program to learn. I know that this same sort of program is being held out in Kansas City that you're going to be part of. And I think it's $400 to go to that one instead of $40.
That's the Van Trump Conference. I think that one sold out in Kansas City, or at least I think very close to very.
It's very close to sold out, I know. But I think that yours is very close to it. And what a deal. Instead of $440, to hear the same sort of exciting things being talked about by some of the top industry people. So I'm excited to be there, but I'm going to be one of the minor excitements of the day.
So. Oh, Well, I'm looking forward to it, and I know you are, Wayne. Tickets are available now, willag.org, farmassetsconference.com. I think we probably better start today with the Dow Jones Industrial Average. Yesterday, it sold off again today. I think that was led by the tech stocks, maybe?
They were the big-time leader in things going down. And what they're starting to say is the world economy is slowing down a little bit. And so all the tech stuff that they were selling to other countries, and that's being slowed down a little bit. Italy's budget deficit, their deficit bigger than their GDP, their interest bigger than their GDP, and that stuff going across the world, let alone our Chinese problems and the tariff problems that we have. So that and a little bit of slowdown in the economy, and today, can we say crude oil? It's the single largest drop in crude oil for 3 years. That sort of ruled, stepped into the corn market, stepped on the bean oil market, brought the crush down a couple more cents a bushel. We're down to 98 cents. We were $1.43, I think, just less than a month ago on our crush margin. So all those things were sort of negative today.
These things all kind of pile on together, and then sometimes they can put some pressure on the marketplace down. The crude oil, for instance, that was at $70, $75, and now at $55. Is this just because the spigots have turned open again?
Well, we've seen a 37 million barrel gain in our inventory since mid-September. That along with the Arabs saying that they were going to pump some more to make up for the shortfall because of the Iranian block, the thing they're dealing with them, I can't think of the word. But anyhow, that they were doing that. So basically, we really built stocks over the last month and a half. We've increased wells and the pumping here in the U.S., and our stocks have just sort of snuck up on us. And then when you've got all that extra crude oil, why, when the price comes down there, the price for ethanol goes down, and the ethanol plants can't bid up as much for corn, and we caught that. Now, this morning, we had a nice little run-up when I came into the office this morning. Instead of down 5, we were up 5 in the beans with the anticipation that the Chinese in Washington meeting and trying to set some ground rules for Trump and President Xi that way. But then later on, the Wall Street Journal reported that progress wasn't being made too well.
Things to worry about in the future. Hey, looking forward to talking to you about these and other topics next week in Normal, Illinois at the Farm Assets Conference, Wayne.
All righty. Thank you, Todd.
That's Wayne Nelson. He's with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana, and will be at the Farm Assets Conference Tuesday. That's in Normal, Illinois. The cost is just $40. Buy your tickets today, farmassetsconference.com. In today's agricultural news, let's start with the Farm Bill. House ag leaders met yesterday but emerged without much progress to speak of. There was some talk, apparently, of putting together a bipartisan House offer, which could spur negotiations among the House and Senate agricultural chiefs towards a deal. That would come up against a long to-do list that Congress has on its agenda during the lame duck session. House and Senate agricultural leaders are hoping to strike a bipartisan deal in time to pass a final farm bill before January, but they'll need to compete for floor time and legislative oxygen with plenty of other big-ticket issues. The Senate is expected to churn through additional nominations. Both parties and chambers will hold leadership elections. And then there's the annual year-end spending showdown. There are just 12 joint legislative days until the end of the year, and a partisan struggle over funds for President Donald Trump's U.S.-Mexico border wall is sure to complicate the spending talks. Also on the agenda, maybe Tax Cuts 2.0, that's a legislative package, which would permanently establish parts of the 2017 GOP tax cut rewrite. Technical fixes to that overhaul are H.R. 1-115, and a separate extension of expired temporary tax breaks, known as extenders, could also be on the docket. The slate of extenders includes the biofuels tax credit. All of that leaves, of course, the Farm Bill negotiators with not much wiggle room to shuttle a final bill through both chambers. They'll need to reach a deal quickly, but there's little indication they're close to resolving some of the biggest sticking points. House Agriculture Chairman Mike Conaway and Ranking Member Colin Peterson huddled Monday for less than 30 minutes. Asked if any decisions were made, Conaway only said, "We're still having conversations." Oh, and going into the meeting, Conaway said negotiations were moving at the pace of a turtle on the fence post. Legs are going 900 miles an hour, but you can't make any progress. From the Farm Bill, let's back up a few months to the North American Free Trade Agreement, or what's now called the U.S.-Mexico-Canada Agreement. The Congressional Progressive Caucus fought against TPA, that's Trade Promotion Authorities, back in 2015, and helped fend off a vote on the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Now CPC co-chairman Mark Pocan, a Democrat of Wisconsin, said Monday that the group has major concerns about the U.S.-Mexico-Canada Agreement. While some of the provisions in labor are stronger, he says, the enforcement is non-existent. Come January, when Democrats control the House, the Liberal caucus will have at least some influence over the fate of the new trade pact. The latest tally shows roughly 200 Republicans in the House next year, maybe with a handful of races still uncalled, many of whom would like to vote for the deal. But the Democratic leaders might be less inclined to shove the trade pact through the House if a large and influential segment of their party is opposed to it. Speaking of trade deals, Canada's Trade Minister Jim Carr told reporters yesterday that his nation is exploring a number of specific sector trade pacts with Beijing or China that could turn into a broader trade deal. He said ag is one sector being discussed. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Todd Hubbs, agricultural economist from here on campus, now joins us to take up the marketplace. Last week, the United States Department of Agriculture on Thursday updated the world agricultural supply and demand estimates for the month of November. Also released its crop production figures. The numbers actually, when you look at them just for the United States, appeared fairly supportive for corn, though it's not moved dramatically. There were some Chinese numbers that we can talk about as well that probably held down some of the changes, but not a bad report for corn, I suppose.
No, overall not bad. I mean, national yield lost 1.8 bushels an acre. You know, when we see this kind of change between October and November over the last 30 years, usually the final yield's lower than the November forecast. So, and with a lot of the issues we've seen in harvest in the Corn Belt, you know, we may see that yield number come down even more. You know, and in conjunction with that, we did see use numbers come down a little bit, 50 million bushels less of feed and residual. And you know, when we're just extrapolating out what we've seen over feed and residual the last few years, that may come down a little bit more. And we saw them lower corn exports 25 million bushels, mainly on what they're saying is competition from the Black Sea area. Pretty good crop in the former Soviet Union and Ukraine. Poor crop in the European Union. So we'll see how it turns out. But I think that's where the competition they're seeing is coming from, and that's the 25 million bushels. I think we're on track to hit that number USDA has. I'm feeling pretty confident about those export numbers at the current prices we're at. Yeah, so overall, when you just look at the U.S. numbers, stocks came down. Stocks to use came down around 11.5%. But corn prices did nothing. They actually retreated a little bit. And some of that was probably the world stocks to use numbers and the revision to China. But I don't hang my hat on those numbers very much, so we'll see how it turns out in the long run. But overall, yeah, somewhat supportive for corn, but like I wrote yesterday, just a lackluster reaction to that report. Corn prices are still struggling with tough market in soybeans, I think, and just, you know, the general trade environment.
I had a discussion with Seth Meyer at the USDA, who chairs the World Agricultural Outlook Board. He would have been responsible for the change in the numbers for China. His worry on the time of the release was that the high-frequency traders would see the doubling of the Chinese corn stocks that USDA incorporated, and that would push the market just dramatically so that it would hit the limits. That did not happen, which probably is very good news. And then it did come back during that day. I suppose there is a case for a supportive, or at least, well, let's just call it supportive. I don't know whether I'm ready to call it friendly market for corn for the coming year, unless acreage changes going into 2019.
I think so. I think corn prices, we could see some. It feels like we're sort of in a band now, somewhere between 360 and 380 as we move out into 2019, to me. And a lot of that's just soybean prices holding down. In the long run, I think there's an expectation of a large acreage shift. I think we will see an acreage change next year, but I'm not convinced about some of the survey numbers I've seen with corn acreage above 94 million and bean acres around 82 million acres. I'm just not confident in those kind of numbers right now. We'll see. But yeah, I think that's hanging over the 2019 prices. We got carry. There's definitely an incentive to store. I think you'll see basis improve a little bit as we move through the marketing year for corn. And you're seeing it. Farmers are storing a lot of corn. Farmers are storing a lot of beans. So, yeah, I think there's a case to be made. We're not talking a major rally unless we see some kind of production shortfall, maybe in South America, but or a resolution to the trade deal. We can always hold out hope for that. But, yeah, it feels like we're just sort of in, you know, 20, 25-cent range to me right now.
Yeah, interestingly, Greg Dowd, who's the chief agricultural negotiator for the United States Trade Representative's Office, or USTR, in Washington, D.C., spoke with the NAFB members last week in Kansas City, and I did ask him about the mix of exports that the U.S. farmer maybe should expect in the future, roughly speaking, though it's always guised sometime, and whether we would see anything unique in the next year. And he was of a mind, I guess the takeaway seemed to be that he was of a mind that we're going to get soybeans back, but we probably ought to have a more diversified look at what those exports are. So even if they come back, they aren't going to come back at the level we were previous to the trade negotiations. Well, he did not say that. But he didn't say we were going to get them back either, and this is what you kind of discern from his discussion points.
Yeah, in the report they finally lowered the soybean export number 160 million bushels, so we're at 1.9 billion. I feel like that might be a little low from my projections, but not too much too low based on what we've seen thus far this marketing year. China's not buying. Todd, it's been a weird fall for soybeans. It seems like every piece of news coming out of China has hurt our potential for them to have to turn to, between African swine fever and, big Brazilian crop, being able to front load some of these buying opportunities for China and changing their rations. They might make it into February. And, if you look at South America right now, their crop went in really well. They've had excellent weather. It's just looking like they're going to get it in, that early crop beans in February, and they can start moving them again. So it doesn't look positive right now without some kind of resolution that I don't see forthcoming anytime soon. So, yeah, it's really weak foreign demand for us. And we have been exporting soybeans to the rest of the world at a pretty decent clip, but China's such a large buyer in the world market, and not being able to access that market's really hurting us.
Thanks so much.
Yes, sir.
Todd Hubbs is an agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. The Farm Assets Conference is just a week away. Now you can pick up your tickets at willag.org, farmassetsconference.com, or by dialing 800-898-1065. The cost is just $40. Next Tuesday, I hope to see you in Normal, Illinois for the Farm Assets Conference. This is the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for a Tuesday afternoon. Don Day normally would join us. He's traveling today and unable to bring us the weather forecast, but I've got an update of what's been happening across the planet. We'll start in the growing regions here in the Midwest, where there are still some corn and some soybeans across the nation to come in. Under the next several days, farmers will be working in cold conditions, though the snow is mostly going to hold off. Today, should be about 26 degrees in a large portion of Illinois for the high tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, 34, 36, and 41, respectively. We may have some snowfall on Thursday, but just a sprinkle or two. And by the time we get to Friday, full sunshine. We'll be dropping down to lows of 13, 23, 26, 27, 29 all week long. So once the ground's frozen, and that'll happen tonight at 16 below and 16 degrees, and then 13 degrees on Tuesday evening, we should keep things from getting too terribly muddy in Iowa. Their lows are at 12 degrees, 20, 25, 30, 28, and 23. Should have a pretty good week to get out if they can get into the fields. And then maybe Saturday and Sunday might have some snowfall, although their highs are a bit higher. They have a high of 46 on Wednesday, 49 on Thursday, and 50 on Friday. So Iowa may have a tougher time getting back into the field. The folks in Nebraska actually fairly warm this week, 41 today, 49, 51, 57, 42 by the time they get to Saturday. 9 degrees for their low tonight, then 23, 26, 30, and 27. And in Minnesota, sort of that same thing, 23 a high for today, but tomorrow through the end of the week in the low 40s, back down to the 30s on Saturday and Sunday. Their lows much lower, 7 tonight, 17 tomorrow, 31, 27, 16 on Saturday evening, and back down to 12 degrees on Sunday. Indianapolis, 35 today, 39 tomorrow, 37, some snow maybe on Friday. or rather Thursday, then 37 in sunny skies on Friday, and they'll be at 26, 21, 29, 28, and 25 for their lows. So that's kind of a quick look across the bulk of the Midwest. Also, Fargo, North Dakota, just 25 today. Again, warmer temperatures there during the daytime hours, 37, 39, 33, until they get to Saturday when they have an 18-degree high and just a 6-degree low. And they'll stay down in those single digits over the weekend at 6, 7, and 5 degrees above zero for their lows. A quick look at some of the rest of the growing areas. Let's head to Mato Grosso in Brazil, where they're at 87 with some rainfall today, tomorrow, and Thursday. Sunshine on Friday, they'll go to 93, their lows in the 70s. And in Mato Grosso do Sul, in the southern part of Brazil, 96, 91, 88, and 88 through Friday. And mid-70s for their lows overnight. Rainfall on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Tocantins, Brazil should be drier and warmer, though they'll get some rainfall Friday and Saturday. And in Argentina, should see sunshine today, tomorrow, and Thursday. 79, 87, 81. The lows in the low to upper 60s. So that's kind of the weather forecast across the growing regions around the planet. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.